I might just sound digitized because maybe I'm part robot. I just don't know it.
I can tell that about you.
Let's go.
You're listening to Making Data Simple, where we make the world of data effortless, relevant, and yes, even fun.
Hey folks, welcome to Making Data Simple. I'm glad that you found your way back. It's late Friday afternoon. Guys, I'm not sure how we got the Friday afternoon slot. Klaus, you're in California, so I presume that you've got a couple more hours, so you're good. I guess, Becky, you have another hour, so I'm the only one that's right up against the end of the day. Of course, my day don't end until later, but anyway. So, as you've heard, I've got Becky Moronis with us. She's a senior product environmentally steward for systems. Klaus Roeder, he leads the worldwide sector sales team for sustainability. So, look, what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about sustainability. They're going to educate me from top to bottom. We're going to have some fun. We're going to make sustainability fun. So we're not just going to make data simple. We're going to make sustainability fun. It is fun, right?
No, absolutely. It is fun.
Be with me, guys. Hey, be with me.
I do it every day, so I feel like it really is.
All right. There we go. We got to get some energy here. All right.
And I know it's Friday late. As well.
Interesting, fun, makes money. It's all goodness all the way around. So why don't we start there? What is sustainability? I know that's starting at square one, but I bet you your definition is going to be different than the definition I get off the internet. Who wants to go first? By the way, we got a three-way going on here. We'll see how we do today, but that should keep things lively. Who can define sustainability for me?
At least from my point of view, it's all about making things that will be around for a lot longer, right? So from the moment we start like mining something all the way to how it's waste, you know, can that be in our environment and in our, you know, business, everything for as long as possible? And can it be reused, right? So there's a few things I think, you know, at least when it comes to sustainability for how I define it, but it is pretty close to the Wikipedia definition or whatever definition you find. It's like a depletion of natural resources, like not to deplete it, right? So
yeah, it's the avoidance of depletion of natural resources in order to maintain an ecological balance. But is that how you would describe it, Klaus?
I certainly think so. And as Becky said, it's close to what Wikipedia said. But what I find interesting for me and what I put for myself on my agenda is how can we, working for, in, and with companies, how can we implement sustainability into action? That's for me is a key part, and that's for me is a driver. And it really comes down to link sustainability to business imperatives for me.
I'm glad you said that last part, because I got to tell you guys a secret. It may not be the right thing to say, but for me, it's all about making things more efficient. And when I start talking efficiency, then I start talking business efficiency. And look, we're in a capitalist society. They see efficiency, and then sustainability becomes even more sexy because that's what it is. I mean, it makes things efficient. I mean, am I wrong on that? I mean, that's usually where the path I go down.
No, you're not wrong.
I think you're absolutely right. And I don't know how long we go today, and if you give me a chance, I have some really cool stories that excite me, right? Where we can see how companies really improve their efficiency, what you said, and where they also are more effective, right, and more efficient and save money, improve their operations, but at the same time, do a heck of things for the environment and improve the environment and are more sustainable companies. So there are a lot of good examples, I would say, how we working in and for companies can really drive sustainability forward.
So here's my definition then. It's going to make the world more efficient. And in doing so, it's going to be the avoidance of the depletion of natural resources in order to maintain an ecological balance. All right, let's go with that. But before we go further, and yes, I'll let you get to your stories. Klaus, tell us your story first. Introduce yourself a bit, and then I'll go to you, Becky, next.
Yeah, my name is Klaus Roeder, as you can hear on my lovely accent, originally from Germany. And even after living for more than 20 years in sunny California, I don't get rid of my lovely accent. But as I always joke and kid is, after we had Arnold Schwarzenegger as a governor here in California, I just say I will be back.
You got to do it better than that. Give us a good one. That one, you just glossed over that. Come on, give us the Arnold.
I'll be back.
I'll be back. You really got it. I'll be back.
You can do it better than I can.
The governor, I'll be back. Come on, man. Keep going. I didn't want to steal your thunder there.
On a professional standpoint, I started out writing a lot of lines of code and then got into product management and technical sales, and really have a passion around data and AI. So it's why your podcast is also right on. And I think we will talk about it throughout the podcast, how data is a key part also for sustainability. And the last 1.5-2 years, I'm really focusing on the sustainability aspect. And as we started on the intro and how I also define myself, right, in the role I'm playing and I want to play, right? How can I be working with companies and companies really do our part for sustainability, but don't forget the business imperative to it.
Welcome, Klaus. Becky, you're up.
Sure.
Let me see your Arnold impersonation. Come on. What you got?
Oh, my gosh. I'll be back.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
I have to, like, try to lower my voice, like, find that, I'll like, be voice be back. Becky Moronis. I think probably did a project in Girl Scouts, have always been sort of into the environment and sustainability, where you took, like, newspaper and you like mashed it up to create like paper. And so since then, I think my career I've always focused toward the sciences, especially the environmental ones. And even though I went to undergrad for marine biology, I found a true calling when I started doing monitoring for asbestos abatement removal. And then I found this whole world of sort of industrial occupational hygiene. And then it led me to my career now, where I pretty much have fun and I get to tell suppliers what they can and can't have in our products. So we have a long specification that I help to write, and I feel like I'm slightly a dictator when I do that, but it's kind of fun.
Very good. Welcome, Becky. And nice impression. So you gave it a shot. I give full credit. Hey, so let's talk about sustainability in your role for a minute. So look, I just call it like it is most of the time. And with sustainability, I feel like everybody knows it's the right thing to do. We all want to do it, but then doing it is a different story. Meaning, if I look at some of the statistics, I can't remember, and you probably have it better than me. It was something like 80% had a sustainability plan. Companies had a sustainability plan, but only 60% had used it or had started it. I don't know if those are the right numbers. In fact, you'll prove me wrong, or the internet will prove me wrong. Do you know what those numbers are? And can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, how do you get started? What's taking so long? What are the biggest inhibitors? And what should companies be thinking?
So I think with, at least for the numbers themselves, I think companies do. And I think you're quite right. I can't remember the numbers off the top of my head. But looking for a sustainability point of view, a lot of people focus on carbon emissions right now, focus on energy efficiency, especially when they're buying hardware, right, for their companies to use. And yes, energy efficiency and all of that, I think, is great for them to use, but it's not the overall end thing that they should be looking at when they're buying hardware. At least for me, even if you're doing sustainability, you really should focus on, you know, the product. Like, how long is it going to last? I mean, certain systems like x86 are designed to kind of be used over a couple of years, where mainframes are used for many years, 10 years over that. So it's, you know, when you look at that stuff in sustainability, longevity, reusability, repairability, recyclability of the products, and can it be disassembled easily? Like, all of that, I think, plays into a factor. And I don't think businesses always think in terms of that, especially for hardware and what they're buying to purchase, because you shouldn't be purchasing stuff that's you're going to get throw away in a year, right? That's not sustainable. You want to purchase stuff that you're going to use for an extended period of time that you can repair. And I think it's just important that people, like businesses especially, think about that when it comes to sustainability. I don't think it's the overall. And I think goals are great, like net zero goals, absolutely. I think they're important to have for climate change and stuff like that. But I just don't think it's the overall picture that we should just be focusing on right now.
By the way, I found that statistic. It was some research IBM did. I think it was last year, but being sustainable was 85% of companies have a sustainability strategy. Only 35% have acted on it. So Klaus, say more on that. I mean, why do you think that's the case?
So the numbers I have is that and I see it on the positive way, that 80% of CEOs expect sustainability investments to improve business results in the next 5 years, right? So sustainability is not just the big picture, it's also the opportunity to innovate and make a difference and grow. At the same time, what I see also is there is also pressure why they are looking into sustainability, right? And 60% of CEOs see a significant demand from investors for greater transparency on sustainability. And this brings me also then down to the point, hey, you need to report on this data. And what I mentioned earlier, hey, data is king, right? So it's where we also as an IT company and help companies manage their data can come in and make a big difference to make it easier for them to manage their data and then show their sustainability impacts that they have.
Has it really started or really been accelerated due to the SEC's reporting requirements? I mean, has that kicked this up or is that causality to something else?
So for me, I say yes and no, right? I want to go back to something that Becky said, and I totally believe into it. You said that net zero is a really important initiative, and it certainly created some awareness in the field. And as I mentioned, I'm from Germany, and we had this Friday for Future demonstration, right? And all of this activism, I think, is really important part on it to create awareness. And where I'm on a larger picture, actually really happy when I look at my kids, they are way more aware of sustainability and why we need to do it, right? And I think this will trigger into the workforce, right? This will trigger into companies going forward. At the same time, when you bring in these regulations, I would agree that they have an impact and that they really get people started and companies acting on it. Because as you even said before, Al, you said like, hey, everybody, we want to be more sustainable, right? And yes, it's a good thing. I think pretty much everybody would agree on to it. But then how much you do, right? And then having some regulations around it and kind of like having, yes, a bit of a forcing factor, right? As we as humans sometimes are, right? You need to get something out of it, right? Or you need to get asked to do something. And I think this certainly drives the sustainability aspect forward as well.
I mean, I think there's the top-down approach, which I would call the government mandate approach. And then there's the bottom-up approach that is like it happens naturally, organically. I'm really curious around the organic piece. And I don't know if you have anything more to say on that, Becky.
You know, I wish, and actually it would happen more organically myself. When you get regulators involved in dealing with environmental regulations, sometimes regulators make stuff without consulting industry about it. Like they want to put these goals in place, which I think is fine, but talk to industry, get input from industry, because you might have a goal and it might not necessarily be achievable yet because the technology isn't there or the resources aren't there yet. But you give us 10 years and that industry can do it. So I think companies, you know, who develop this stuff and do it organically and start getting it, they're sustainable. Like they're sustainable in the long run because consumers see them that way and want to participate in that company. I think GreenBiz did a recent poll of Americans, and they were talking about how so many Americans want to get involved in things like sustainability in the environment, but they just don't. But there has been more of a focus on the materials and all of that stuff that they can get. And so there has been more of a slight increase of people willing to spend more money, willing to buy those sustainable products that are available on the market now.
Guys, as I'm looking at sustainability though, and to start off organically, one thing I would start, and I guess I'd throw at you and I'd like to get your response on, is I think about IBM's portfolio around sustainability. Let me give you an example. We transform how you manage and maintain assets. We build intelligent, resilient supply chains. We enable frictionless business-to-business connectivity, streamline engineering systems. There's weather and environmental-based insights. And then we use data and analytics to optimize for the low-carbon future. The last one you can clearly tell sustainability, but the others, I mean, have core business all over it that lead into sustainability in my mind and really drive fundamental business savings that accomplishes both goals, meaning I can feel good about what I'm doing in the environment, yet I'm also saving my company money. That's how I see we start the organic discussion around sustainability. Klaus?
Yeah, I have a couple of examples on this part. Maybe I want to start out with one, and it's around vegetation management and how we use data science, AI, and data to really help power companies to be more effective, save money, and then by doing so, also saves the environment. And if you look at it, some statistics that we have is that 90% of all weather-related outages are caused by vegetation contact with utility lines and poles. And companies...
You say 90%?
92%.
That's a lot. 92%. 92%.
All outages are weather-related outages caused by a power line touching a tree or a tree falling into a power line. And companies in North America, an estimate is they spend $7 to $8 billion on maintaining the vegetation management around power lines. So mm-hmm. you can see that's a tremendous big amount of money, right? So as part of one of the internal data science talks that I'm hosting inside IBM, we look at, hey, how is data science really improving and playing an impact in our companies? We looked at it, said for our vegetation management solution, we are instead of before where we always use satellite data, right? And a quick intro, satellite data is basically 2D, right? We are using now LiDAR data. And with LiDAR data, it's way more precise, number one. And you also get a 3D picture. So you can see how high is a tree and is this what you see on the picture? Is it really affecting my power line? And you can see in way more detail, is a certain tree or a certain bush going into my power line? And should I go in and maybe cut this down before the next storm is coming or before the next winter or fall is approaching? And then you can imagine that by being way more precise in telling electricity companies, hey, you should go out in this area, and here I think you have a high impact. And instead of them having to send out hundreds of people, right, and to walk and fly around all of these different power lines to find this out kind of like manually, with manual inspection, right, you can see that a lot of money is saved there. And it has a business imperative also for companies.
Is that visual inspection through AI?
That's part of our vegetation management, of our environment intelligence solution. Correct, yeah. So but on this part, let me just add something. What I found really interesting, and it was almost a funny coincidence, when I was hosting this internal talk about how we are using this LiDAR data and data science to improve our detection around for vegetation management. Just at this time, we in San Jose, the pocket where I live, we were out of power for 2 days. And when I came home, this crew from our local power company was here. And then the guy I chatted with, he said like, oh, I came from the Sacramento area, right? So this company had to bring in folks from the middle of the state, bring them out here, right? Say, we're here already for 21 days. They said, they can go back for a weekend, then they need to come out again. So what really resonated with me here, if we help companies to do this vegetation management, right, and more effectively, then they will save a lot of money, right? Because these outages can be reduced. And instead of maybe, I'm not saying they wouldn't bring in anybody from the middle of the state anymore, but maybe instead of bringing 100, 200 people in, maybe it would be a very smaller crowd. And then when you, what I started out with, how can we, I working in with four companies, make an impact on sustainability? I think that's a really cool example. It is not this big net zero initiative. I think all of these little pieces that we do, right? And that not 100 extra crews with big trucks, right, need to drive across the strait. This has certainly a sustainable impact, but what I think is clear to all of us here.
I think, you know, you had touched upon and said, you know, that we do have a lot of software and initiatives around the supply chain. And I can't, you know, as transparency is becoming more and more important for consumers, you know, whether they're business consumers or whether they're personal consumers, you know, knowing exactly what is in your products and what you're able to get is so important. Regulations are definitely putting it down that way, that we're going to have to know, you know, the complete entire circular economy of everything that, like, we've ever made. And so I think that's just as important too for sustainability. And like Klaus said, you know, and I think this is a good point, is it's small pieces. So even though the supply chain may not affect necessarily net zero emissions, like when you look at transportation of the supply chain, absolutely. But when you look at the raw materials, they may not necessarily affect net emission, you know, net carbon emissions that much. So it's little things. And all of that does build up eventually. So when you're being sustainable, I think it's important, start where you know you can start and grow, because that is going to help it to be organic, as we were talking about earlier as well.
Usually I start off with the question I'm about to ask you, Becky. I should have asked it to begin with, but I'm a crappy host. Everybody knows that about me. So here's the question. You know, in your role as senior product environmental steward, what does that mean? I mean, what are you charged with? What are your success factors around this area?
Yeah, so a lot of it is really focusing on making sure that the products that are going to the consumers are fairly safe. They're safe in terms of the materials that we're putting out there. You know, they're safe from like a variety of safety points of view for compliance and stuff like that. And so when you put something out there, we really need to make sure we know what's in our products. So, you know, we're constantly asking our suppliers, what do you use in our supply chain? And there are a list of chemicals and substances that we prohibit. You know, something like there is the Stockholm Convention has a persistent organic pollutants. There are a whole bunch of different chemicals that we don't allow in our products. You know, personally at IBM, and I know a lot of companies don't. And so a lot of companies, you will see them talk about what type of, you know, materials they have, lead, you know, cobalt, all of those sort of even metals are so important too, because those come down to, a lot of the metals come down to conflict minerals. Where are those minerals? Where are those metals coming from? Where are they being smelted? And so all of that has to be traceable within the supply chain. So it's sort of like the diamond industry, everyone sort of knows, and that's a great example, but diamonds aren't the only thing that have to be traceable for a sustainability point of view and where it is. There's so many other minerals that are mined, and electronics are raw in what they call critical raw materials, materials that we need for electronics to function. And if we don't start to see them and start to figure out ways to recycle those materials, eventually we're not going to have enough. They are not an unlimited supply here on Earth.
Are you just watching, or are you integral to the development cycle?
No, we're integral to the development cycle. Yep. IBM has a design for the environment protocol that we follow. It's a whole set of goals. So those goals ensure, you know, that the no hazardous materials, it's energy efficient, what we're able to produce, what we can, you know, the repairability, the recyclability, the longevity, all of those are sort of within our goals. And so those goals are what we strive for all the time and what we constantly achieve. And we are an ISO 14001 certified body, and my group handles that certification to show that we are constantly meeting those goals and constantly able to you know, in an audit, showcase that we actually do have proof and data that we can meet those goals.
But what are IBM's short-term to medium-term goals around sustainability?
So a lot of the sustainability is that actual design for the environment. So when you look at those,
is there any like
the
carbon footprint?
We do.
Is there any?
Yeah, I was going to say we also have net zero emission goals as well. And a lot of those goals sort of revolve around reducing single source, single use plastics, you know, making sure our products are energy efficient. But not only are they energy efficient, we want to make sure that they improve the power per wattage, you know, as they increase. So, right, you're getting more bang for less energy in a sense. Right? Like the product, the power, the systems are more powerful, but they're maintaining still a good amount of energy that we're not going to deplete the world of all its energy usage. And so all of those are sort of in there. IBM just recently released the 2022 Environmental, Social, and Governance, where we talk about our net zero emission goals as well. So we have site goals, but then there are some stuff directly related to the supply chain that they have goals too as well for a lot of the transparency, a lot of, you know, finding better ways of transportation. And one of the goals too is just reducing the carbon emissions for transportation. And we're realizing when you ship stuff freight across the ocean, it's way less carbon emitter than when you fly a system across the ocean.
What's the US's net zero? Is it 2050?
Believe that one is 2050.
For me, one part, and starting again out what I said before, how can I'm working for a company with a company. I looked into, hey, what are we doing at IBM? And to your question, what are the goals that IBM has defined? And there's actually a list of 21 environmental goals that we as IBM set ourselves and said we published. And I'm for sure will not bore you to go into all of the 21 of them. But number one is, for example, 75% of electricity from renewable resources by 2025 and 90% by 2030, or 65% reduction of IBM's greenhouse gas emission by 2025 against the base year of 2010. And as Peggy said before, more details, and as our CEO, Arvin Altman, says, always more to do. Are we there yet? No, by far not, right? But you can look up, if you just Google is IBM Impact Report 2022, you will find easily accessible the latest numbers that we published as IBM. And that's again, why do I mention this? Because I find it important. Ask yourself, hey, what is your company doing, no matter where you work? Right? What is your company doing around sustainability? And I think being there, a voice, that's how I feel, not always with big activism, right? That's how I feel, how we all can do, and being as small as it maybe is, right? How we can make an impact in our companies and drive this overall effort forward.
Podcast listeners, I'm going to stop here. And next week, we'll talk about forms of sustainability, intelligent supply chain, a low carbon future. We'll even get into the sustainability pitch. I'll talk to you next week. Thank you.